Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here is Caroline Leavitt, spokesperson for Donald Trump, in front of the D.C. press gaggle, thrashing them for blacking out, canceling the murder of Irina Zaruska, because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Today, I would like to address the tragedy that has not received nearly enough media attention, the brutal murder of Irina Zaruska. Here are the facts that many outlets have shamefully and intentionally failed to report until President Trump drew attention to it. Irina was on the train that night traveling home from her job at a pizzeria, still in uniform from her shift. This beautiful, innocent 23-year-old young woman was a Ukrainian refugee who had recently fled her country for a chance at a safer life in the United States of America. But tragically, a public transportation system in a major American city was more dangerous than the active war zone that she left. And perhaps most shamefully of all, the majority of the media, many outlets in this room, decided that her murder was not worth reporting on originally because it does not fit a preferred narrative. Many of the journalists in this room spilled plenty of ink trying to smear Daniel Penny for defending a subway car from a deranged lunatic in New York City, but none of those same reporters lift a finger to write stories about an actual murderer.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, she's nailed that. Yeah. And that is a great comparison there about the Daniel Penny issue, because that was solely driven by the with racial overtones by the left wing media.
And a guy by the name of David Strom Lee wrote a great piece in Hot Air today, "The Daniel Penny Effect is Destroying Blue Cities." Here's what he writes. "In times of crisis, it's common to see Florida's law enforcement officers reminding potential criminals that Floridians are armed and authorized to protect themselves, each other, and their property. In fact, I'd go a step further. They encourage them to. And they tell the criminals, look, I'm just going to come pick your body up. We don't care. We're good if they shoot you. Don't break into homes here.
Yeah.
Don't hurt people here."
On their property.
On their property. And he writes, "In blue cities, on the other hand, people who protect themselves or others can be certain that they will be prosecuted should they decide to help others. Criminals with long rap sheets get released back into the public with regularity. But if a man stands up to a thug to protect his fellow citizens, as Daniel Penny did, he can wind up with a long legal battle that could result in a long-term prison sentence or bankruptcy or both. We see the results all too often. And the horrific murder in Charlotte's the latest example." And this was the most horrific part to me. "A new video has been released that shows the aftermath of the vicious attack on Irina Zaruska on Charlotte's light rail line." I don't know if you've seen it. It's the unedited video.
No,
I've
heard about it. I've not watched this. I just this.
You know what? Every Democrat voter yesterday that voted for Vi Lyles
ought to have to watch it. Yeah,
I should be forced to watch it. They should be forced to watch this. "Not one person," he writes, "helped her. She began bleeding out before eventually dying." And you can see these people are pretty close. They're in the seats around her. That was the most horrifying part to me as a mom of a daughter not too much younger than her. She's 17, my daughter. I just wanted to hold her while she died. She had this look of horror on her face. She was stabbed so hard. And fear and horror and shock. And then she begins to bleed out. She falls over. And that's got to be the worst feeling in the world, that you're there with people and no one holds you, no one helps you. You die alone. You die alone. "What is so striking," he writes, "so dispiriting, is that nobody did a thing to help Irina even after the attack. In this case, it's perfectly understandable that nobody could intervene to prevent it. The attack was so sudden and unexpected. It would have taken a miracle for anyone to save her from the initial attack. But after the attack, when he's walking around dripping her blood casually all over the place, why did no one rush to help Irina? Why did no one stop the madman? People are being trained to be afraid of intervening by Democrats. They are told the government alone is responsible for the well-being of others and even discouraged from helping themselves. I would add, Lee, we're also being, or at least they want to, Democrats want to disarm us so we cannot hurt criminals.
Right.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So that you have no defense.
Yeah.
So that the criminals have the advantage. And it's like, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, Roy Cooper, who's running for Senate, was making the comment about, well, we need more police. How would that have had any impact on this situation?
None. It's a dodge.
I mean, exactly. That's exactly what it is. He is dodging the issue there. You know, what would have done, what would have saved this young woman's life if the judicial system in North Carolina had done its job and protected citizens from this individual.
Will Chamberlain with the Article 3 Project tweeted this, and is so right, talking about Roy Cooper, who wants to be the senator from North Carolina. He's the former governor. And Josh Stein are implicitly blaming Irina Zarudska's death on the lack of police funding when police arrested the perp 14 times. Nobody can find an incident where police didn't do their job
right,
here.
Right, exactly.
They will not take responsibility for the misguided reforms that let psychotic murderers run wild. Their careers need to end. So when you look at this, Roy Cooper was the attorney general. He's a Democrat of the state before he was governor. Now he wants to be the senator. This is her blood's literally on his hands. Same thing with Josh Stein, who followed that same track into office. Josh Stein was the attorney general, a Democrat. Now he's the governor. But the key thing here is, and the heartless, brutal thing, is that this is a dodge to get out of changing the justice system in any way.
Yeah.
They will give you police officers to hold your mom's hand when she arrives and wipe up the blood, but they will not do anything to stop the guy, the perp, from going out the door. And Pam Bondi's not wrong. She said, we've got to go in and arrest him. We've got to go in and federally charge him just to keep him out of the hands of progressive prosecutors. He'll go right out the door again. So look, we're getting a front row seat to how Democrats would have us live. Mm-hmm. And the best example of this that I can find from right here in South Carolina, if you have any doubts, well, this is an isolated case and your liberal friends will tell you it's no big deal. Yes, it is. The homicide rate in Charlotte has doubled since 2019. It is a big deal. But was that billboard that went up, I'll never forget it, in 2020, Lee, during the Democrat primary here. And it was people, it was Democrats, it was their pictures in the primary, including Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg, who had vowed to release off the top 50% of federal prisoners. Just off the top. No assessment of, you know, how dangerous they were, what they might have done, just let them go.
It was a quota.
Yeah, it was a quota. And they pledged to do that. So when you understand, they're not only cool with all of this, they would release people like this guy from our federal prison. Because I covered federal court. You got to understand, it's not like state court.
Right.
It's not a guy with a dime bag of marijuana who got busted on a corner somewhere. These are the worst of the worst of the worst. And that's why they're in federal prison. And they didn't care. This was who they were going to let out. And I had the audio here, but now I can't find it. And I wish I could play it for you. I'll see if I can find it. Joe Biden gets confronted by a liberal loon at an event. And he's asked, hey, you know, you're going to release 50% of the prisoners. And he says, yeah, man, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do better than that. Well, he never did, thank God. But this is where they'll go.
Yeah, auto pen never got around to it.
No, he tried, didn't he? One at a time. Or whoever ran the auto pen did.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he tried to do it. And the guy says, great. Oh, this is great. You're going to let him out. And there's no thought of any kind of, you know, like, where will they go? What will they do? Who will they hurt? They don't care. They just see it as a source of votes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe enough votes to put him over in a state. And that's it. And they know their families and friends will vote Democrat, too. It's just what they do. So, but the good news is, that Americans are getting a front row seat to this, Lee.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole border thing, for instance, should be old by now, but it's not, because every single day we get another lesson in what Joe Biden let in here. And so it doesn't go away. I'll tell you what I mean coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.